that were missing last week that normally were here, talked about the sin and what Jesus came about and why he was here and why he was sent by God. And we spoke of that, of reconciling us back to God. And then we talked about after that the power and the things that we see. The power that we as Christians get and see is because he rose from the dead. You know, the power, resurrection power, that our Lord rose from the grave and is at the right hand of God the Father. So that's an area that, well, how can you be so joyful, Tim? Because my Lord, number one, came and took my sin away. Number two, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And so those are things that I think that we in our lives can have some joy built out of that. And so we shared a little bit about that, the sin from what that Jesus had come for that purpose, the power that when we are a follower of him, like where do you get that? How the power, where do you feel that strength? Where do you get that encouragement? Because I serve a risen Savior. That's one of the reasons. And then we got into, well, with all that happening, it was to the point too, last week we started sharing about redemption, that we were redeemed. We were brought back. We were bought with a price, right? Everyone here that has Christ as their Lord has been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who he came for all of us. And he would have come for just one person. You know, I hope you have such a personal love and relationship with him that you would realize today that if everyone in this room was totally saved from the very beginning, and there was one person in here, me, that was unsaved, God would say, I'm going to send my son to reconcile Tim back to me, because Tim is that important to me, because I love him. He's my creation. I want him to return back. So he would have sent Jesus just for one person, but he had sent it, and the world has the benefit to receive him for those that want to. Amen? Whoever wants to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can do that. It's not just a social economic scale of person. It's just not a certain country can come to him. It's just not a certain character of a person. It's for all mankind. Jesus came to take sin away from this world. And because of that and Jesus coming. So we go from sin to resurrection. Now, understanding all that works together into a redemption. And we shared last week a little bit, what is that about being redeemed? Well, to be redeemed, let me just quickly say, is to what? Is to one who frees or delivers another from difficulty, danger, or bondage, and it's usually by a payment of a ransomed price. We found in the Old Testament, when it talks about redemption and all, and those times, a lot of it was done by through that of animals and different things that they would do to redeem and buy back, and we found that it talked also about, generally when one would redeem something for someone, it was probably a family member that had more wealth that could come to the aid of another family member that didn't have as much wealth or much ability or capability of doing a buyback of something that was taken from them. And this family member would come and they would redeem back that property or redeem back that cattle, whatever the case might be, but that was kind of like the redemption of getting back something that was taken from you. And then, of course, now we're getting into the New Testament where we know the redemption of Jesus Christ, right? And how he brought us back. We've been redeemed. We shared last week, a song in there that we had that they were playing, Redeemed, Redeemed. You know, there's beautiful songs and beautiful hymns out there about being redeemed from the blood of through the blood of the Lamb. And so that was kind of encouraging just to listen to that and the words that were shared there. But to be redeemed is one who frees or delivers another from difficulty. Jesus came, and if we are the redeemed of the Lord, say so. I'm redeemed! Redeemed of the Lord, say so. You know, and I was brought back from a difficulty. I've been bought with a price. I've been taken out of danger, you know. We find in the Word of God where it says that choose this day, you know, but then also it tells us that you will serve either God or you will serve the things of this world, and the God of this world being that of the devil. And now we know that as Christians, we go through this life with a little bit more up upon that because I'm a kingdom kid. How about you? You know? And so wherever I go, the power of God, the benefits of Jesus Christ are with me, so I don't answer to the God of this world. You know, I answer to a higher authority. I answer to God the Creator. And so that gives me joy. How about you? You know, to know that. And so we look at these things, and I was a servant. It talks about of bondage, you know, being redeemed, being delivered from bondage. Number one, you got to realize you're bonded to something. You're either going to be a bond servant of this world, right? Or you're going to be a bond servant of God. And I would rather be a bond servant of God. And we become that through the redemption. And we'll find some of that in scriptures, I believe, as we kind of wrap some of this up into it. I don't know. Here, let's see. I want to go into, we talked a little bit in Romans, and then redemption, and Colossians, we are forgiven. Galatians, that we have that liberty and live lives that are free from bondage. And yet then, how is that though, when he says, you know, we're free from bondage, but yet we're in bondage? It's like, well, what's that all mean? You know, is he talking in circles? No. Here again, he's just letting us know that you're either a bonded to the things of sin, or you're going to be a bond servant of Christ. And I want to be the other. I'm tired of being bound by sin and having sin have such a hold of me. And that's what happens to all of our lives through all of our time until we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, is that we are just held down by the things of this world and the things that want to hold us back. Well, how do you know that? Well, just begin to build a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just come to him and say, Lord, I ask for forgiveness of my sins and cleanse those sins from me, Lord, and I now confess you as Lord of my life. And then go out from that knowing that you've been redeemed. But also know that the things of this world are still going to try to get you and ensnare you and trap you and still try to pull you back. And that's the things of this world that still wants to hold on and grab. And, you know, the devil wants to just remind you of how bad you were before Christ. Has anybody been there before? You know, to where the old enemy just wants to remind you of, remember back before? And then you've got to say, that was back before, but now, and it's a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ. And so we find those things of being redeemed. We've got to know that. As we begin in our Sunday school hour now, and we just started today talking about eight covenants in the Bible, and it ties into the Old Testament, and how much God loved man so much that he wants to bless us. Bless us. Bless us. You know? And that he would make covenants with different groups and different people and through different ages throughout the Old Testament. And we're going to kind of look at some of those covenants and not spend a long, long time into them, but just kind of touch upon what God was doing even in the New Testament to work together and say, hey, you know, here am I, where are you type of a thing. So now I want to go into... First Peter 2:16. I want to begin to read and just say in First Peter 2:13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That by doing good you will put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 2:15 is where I'm at now. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So as we look at this, we're free. Are you free in here today? Amen? If you're free, say amen. 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 But we do not want to use that freedom as a liberty to just keep doing bad things and say, well, we've got an ace in the hole and it'll be okay. No, there's an expectation of us to change and grow and develop and to get better into the things of what God wants us to have and do. So it's not a free ride. You were bought with a price. So it's not free. You know, he that knew no sin became sin, so that I that had sin could be removed of that sin. You know, he paid that price. But it's not a trump card where it's like, oh, okay, I'm just always going to have that liberty because of what Jesus did for me. It's not that. But we've got to understand that we then become bond servants to the things of God. And I would much rather, and I hope you would understand this, that if you can become bond servants of God, your life will be a whole lot better. Do you think? Now, we look at that word bond servant, you know, and that's like a slave. It's like, I don't really know, slavery doesn't sound like a good thing. Sometimes in the very beginnings of time and a slavery aspect, there was times that the slaves, you know, they loved where they were at working because they had a roof over their head and they had food and they had benefits of things as far as working and a place, and they were servants or slaves of the landowners or whatever. It gets a bad rap when it goes the other way and they get abused and things like that, and that's certainly not good. But I think I have found many times that the things in God's word that were good, man gets them and turns them bad, you know. And so there were those times back in the biblical days that they would even be freed, and some of them didn't even want to be freed. They say, I don't want to go. I like where I'm at. You know, I've got a roof over my head, and I'm working, and people are taking care of me. But as we look at this, to be a bond servant of God is just, you're just, he bought you, you know. We talk about people saying, well, Jesus is Lord. And how many times we say that? Has anybody said that? Jesus is Lord over my life. And he is. And what we've got to get into that respect of is that, but how much of your life is he Lord over? How much do you allow him to be into your life? Have you, as much as he gave all for you, he didn't hold nothing back of himself, how much of yourself are you holding back from giving him? And the thing that we've got to catch ourselves on is that we learn that if we want the best of the benefits, and it's not just to abuse the thing and say, ooh, I want to get, but we just have the understanding of what this is all about in the spiritual realm is saying, I want to give all of myself to him so that he can have all of me. Because if he's got all of me, there's a better chance that, you know, I'm going to follow him better, I'm going to follow him further, I'm going to do what he's asked. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life as well as my life. And if I can do these things and try to live that line of bondservant and totality selling out to him, I'm going to have a good life. Amen. And I have had a good life. Have you had a good life? I believe my life could even be better, and it will be better as time goes, as I continue to give more of myself over to God. I can stand before you here today and say that I am probably knowing that I'm not 100% totally turned over to the things of God. Well, how can that be? Is anybody in here today, don't raise your hand, but maybe within yourself saying, well, I'm 100% turned over to God. I would almost have to say, are you sure? Are you really? Or is that your mind just thinking that, you know? I find so much in my life even now that I need to surrender over to God. And I don't find that probably, I don't think God is finding that as a fault and he's mad at me. I think it's a thing of continually, like he says, by that of the renewing of your mind, by hearing more of me in the days of things that are happening. I think as we find in our society today of craziness going on, that I don't care if it's in the industry, I don't care if it's in the things of our government, I don't care if it's things around the world, you just always wake up and you hear some things and you go, I thought I heard it all until I just heard this. Anybody said that before? I just read in the paper over the weekend here, I guess Friday or Saturday's paper, a 10-year-old boy was arrested for armed robbery. 10 years old? 10 years old, I was playing Superman and Cowboy. When I was growing up, or something like that, 10, I don't know, that was a long time ago. But I never had the inkling that I was going to go rob somebody armed. I don't know what they never just said what the armed was. Could have been a knife, could have been a gun, could have been whatever. I don't know. But it's like, well, I read that late last night, and my wife had already gone to bed, and I yelled up to her. I said, you know what I just read in the paper? And this voice comes out of the dark, what? I go, a 10-year-old kid was arrested for armed robbery. It's like, duh. I was just like, oh my gosh. Just when you think you've heard it all, craziness opens up again. But that's the life that we're living in here. That's the world. This is what's happening in our sphere of where we're at. But we can have a sphere of influence of something that's a positiveness. We can have a sphere of influence that we can pray and we can intercede and we can lift up our nation. We can lift up our government. We can lift up our politicians. We can lift up our police. We can lift up the firefighters. We can lift up pastors and churches and people that are ill and needing strength from God for healing. We can do all of those things because of who we are in Christ and what Christ is in us. And I'm going to tell you that the more you find yourself giving of yourself more to Him and allowing more of Him to come in, you will walk in a greater measure of victory. Now, I did not say you will walk in a greater measure of less battles, did I? No. You will have battles. You better have battles. If you're not having battles, then something's not right. Because the enemy is out there to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's trying to do whatever he can. And you put a bullseye on your back, but you're walking with a breastplate of the power and righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the feet, all the armor of God that we walk in and we do, but it gives us that ability to be an influence where we're at today and to be a part of the helps rather than part of the problem. We've got a lot of people that are part of the problem and that like to give their 2 cents worth of what, well, if I was that, I would do this. Well, that's good, but you know, if I had my way, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to tell the president what he needs to do. Like, well, yeah, like Tim's going to be able to do that. You know, walk up to the White House, go to the guard and say, I want to speak to President Obama. Does he have an appointment to see you? No, but just tell him Tim Hartley wants to talk to him and he'll let me in. could you get the white coats down here, please? There's a wacko here. You know? It's like, who's this guy? But you know what? I can influence the spirit of that office by what? Prayer. I can pray. I can intercede for whoever the president is, for whatever government, for whatever thing's happening, for whatever's going on. I can pray for somebody that's in the hospital that's across the country, that's a friend of this person here in town. I'm not going to jump on a jet and fly there and lay hands on that person. But when somebody says, I got a relative that's going through this and we need prayer for that, I know that I can pray and that when I pray that my prayers are heard. And when they're heard, they're going before God. You know, that Jesus Christ is right at the hand of the right hand of Father God, interceding and being my advocate, and He's helping and He's going before me. And I pray these things, and I said, Lord, touch that person, heal that person, give them strength, whatever the case is. Be with the doctors, give them knowledge and wisdom. But these are all the things that we have because of who we are in what? Christ. I'm redeemed that we've got this, and we've still got to obey the teachings of God. Again, remember, this does not give us a liberty to do whatever we want just because I've said, you know, Christ is in my life and forgiving my sins. There's a point and place where I've got to walk this out and live it out. As a result of redemption that God has given us through that of Christ, we should find it easy to rejoice knowing that what? We've been freed from Romans 6:8. Romans 6:8. Let's see what I'm going to do here. I'm going to Romans 6:18. So 6:8 is not bad either. I was reading that. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. That's not so bad either, is it? Maybe somebody needed to hear that today. I don't know. And it says here in Romans 6:18, and having been what? Set from are set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for what? For holiness. For holiness. For unto yes. Let it be heard. Sanctification. Have you ever get to a word where it just gets in your... Just like, it's like the old days. Now, people today don't realize that, but you know, you that had 33 RPMs or 45s, that old thing would be on that thing going around as I hit that track and it wouldn't go on. You'd have to go hit that side of the phonograph and it would go to the next slot. It's like, redeem, 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 redeemed of the Lord, say so. You know, remember now, computer age and how everything is, you know, everything changes so fast. Every time I get a computer, it's already 10 years old. You know, it's like, that's technology. So you're dealing with the processor here that was built back in 1956. Oh, Lord. Anyway. But it gets renewed, hopefully, every day as I renew my mind with the Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. Okay. Romans, and that's talking about 18 to 19, and we find that, you know, bondage to sin. It's so important to realize that you're bonded to something. It's either the things of sin or you're a bondservant of the things of God. And what do we want to find out here? Also in Galatians, we find that Galatians 4. Okay. We got to get through this. Come on now. Let's see. Galatians 4, 3, 5. Even so, Galatians 4, starting with 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Verse 5 says what? To redeem. To redeem. Remember what that redeem is. One who frees or delivers another from a difficulty, a danger, or a bondage. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, as we look at this, Paul is using the illustration of slavery to show that before Christ came and died for sins, people were in bondage to the law. And there was a lot of laws, especially back in the Old Testament, the Jewish laws. How many were there? 600 and some out or something like that, or along that line? There was a lot of laws back then, not just the Ten Commandments, but there was a lot of laws that the Jewish people came up with, or hierarchy that said, don't do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. So you can imagine trying to keep them all. But we are still at this point in time that we need to obey the commandments. It's not that, you know, Jesus, I know when people said when Jesus came, they thought, well, he's done away with them, didn't he? And what did Jesus say? That no, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill those things. So as we read in Galatians, Paul uses the illustration of slavery. Is that where we were at? Galatians 4, 5, yes. To show that before Christ came and died for sins, people were in bondage to the law. They thought that the law would save them, and they became enslaved to trying and failing to keep it. Because of Christ, we can come boldly into his presence. And you'll find that, and we shared on this sometime back on Hebrews 4:16, where it says, come boldly before the throne. Enter into that area with boldness. Come to him. And my encouragement back then was, if we are truly redeemed of the Lord, if you truly know who you are in Christ, if you know that you're a child of God, if you know who you are, you should be able to go to God, come boldly into that throne room and say, Lord, and begin to share and talk or whatever it is to him. and let yourself be heard. It says, come boldly. What did that say in Hebrews? Can we just turn some people? Let's look at that real quick. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. 14, seeing then, if I'm going to go back to Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great, what? High priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Praise God for that. But I don't know, does the church do that? Are the people of our churches doing that? Are they understanding of who they are in Christ, that they can do that boldly, go before Him and come to Him? There are some people out there that have, you know, they're going through a situation and they know kind of like who you are maybe in Christ, and they would rather come to you and say, you know, Lou, would you pray for this for me, please? It's like, well, you can do the same thing. Well, you pray because you're closer to Him than I am. It's like, well, we can all be close to Him. It's not a certain person. It's not a certain level of stature. It's not just because I'm a pastor that I can get quicker to Him, you know. We all have that through Jesus Christ. And it's a kind of a thing that man has put upon people, and it could be even that of, I don't want to say the evilness of it, but probably more man just putting stipulations to try to make it, I don't know, like, you know, before you go to Him, you got to come to me first type thing. I would rather you don't come to me. You're going through a problem, don't call me. You're sick, don't call me. Well, yes, you can, okay? But I'm saying this, that the same God that I talk to in prayer is the same God that you're talking to in prayer, and I will agree with you in prayer, and I will intercede for you and all those things, but I want a body of people and a body of believers that says, I am powerful and strong in who is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. And he that's in me is also in you, if we're that of children of God, and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And yes, please call if you're sick. Please call if you need prayer. We will do that. But I want people to understand that you don't have to go to the church office or to the church pastor first before you're going through a tragedy. If you're living like that, stop. And grab a hold of what it's all about, of who we are in Christ. We are all ministers of the gospel for those that are believers. Share that with Brother Al at his funeral, you know. He was not a pastor ordained or a priest or anything like that, but Al was a minister of the gospel, right, Terry? And Rhonda, you know, family, you knew, we all, anybody that knew Al, it didn't take him long to start preaching to you or sharing the word of God, you know. And he would give you that encouragement. That's what ministers of the gospel, I believe, are to do, is to bring encouragement into people's lives. Not to beat them down, not to draw them down to their knees and say, bad, you're this and you're that. No. Ministers of the gospel, the good news message that we should have is, okay, you're feeling bad and you're doing this and you're suffering and you're dealing with this in life. Let me tell you how that can change in your life. How's that going to happen? Sometimes I got to be careful I don't laugh too much in people's dire needs, because the joy of the Lord is my strength, you know? But it's to share that message and to get that across to people, that I don't have, you know, speed dial that I only got for God. It's just me and the pastors and fathers and priests and reverends and all that, you know? So you all have that same connection. If you can cry out, if you've got breath in your lungs, and if you can just say, God, I need you. I'm going through this, or my friend is going through this, or my son or daughter is going through this, or my grandchild is doing this, or whatever. And I lift them up to you. You've got the same if you've got Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because Jesus says, I go now, and I'm at the right hand of God the Father interceding for you. Wow. Man, I tell you what, if we really knew who we are in Christ, and it's not to be haughty, and it's not to be prideful, it's just to know who you are, that you know who you are, that you would take on the things of this world, and you would have victory. You would still have battles, but you will have victory. And you're going to have that victory through Him, through the power that He has. Remember last week we kind of ended to the point of saying, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, let's see. As we've talked over the last few weeks, As believers, we are exhorted, in the Word to remember the price of our redemption as a motivation to personal holiness. You can find this, and let's just, 1 Corinthians, and we'll be wrapping up here pretty quickly here and end with a couple of songs. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We find Paul here telling us that our body belongs to God. People today, more than ever, feel that they have a right to do whatever they want, don't they? Don't you hear that in the news now? I got a right to do this. It's my right to do that. It's my right not to do that. You've got to do this for me because it's my right. We are built into such a thing now that it's always my right. The Word of God tells us something totally different. For those, really, for sure, those of the Christian faith and those that are making up the church body, you know, is that we've got to realize that God has bought us with a high price, that it's different with us. Christ's death freed us from sin, but it also obligates us to His service. Remember, when you're redeemed, you're bought with a price. You're redeemed, you're brought back. You're taken out of the clutches of the bondage to sin, but you're going to be brought back to God, and then you're going to be servant to Him. How about living in a building? And you've always got things that you've got to obey, right? They have rules to obey. If you live, you know, in an apartment complex, you can't do this, you can't do that. My son lives in an apartment complex to where it's like you can't do laundry after 10 o'clock at night because they don't want the machine and all that making noise for the people around you, you know? So there's always these rules and stipulations out there. You have to follow those rules. If we do that in the natural, why can't we follow the things of God's rules and things that God asks of us? We can follow the things that man puts upon us. Oh, we got to do that, we got to do that, we got to do that. And God puts some of those same things on us or other things that God, to serve Him, He requires this of us, and we don't want to do that because it's like, well, it's my right. I don't feel like I need to do that. 1 Peter, as we wrap down here, 1 Peter 1. We're going to just finish this up here. 1 Peter 1, 13, 19. 1 Peter 1. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as you who are called, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "For be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed, here we go, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, could also be said perishable. You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But what were you redeemed with? The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. So we find that we were redeemed with something that was not corruptible, something that was not perishable, the blood of Christ. He died for our sins. We were redeemed. We've been bought with a price. We are now owned by that of God, bond servants to Him, you know, and we should want to please Him. It talks about here that we, the imminent return of Christ should help us to live for Him. You know, as we live in the days today, it's like, man, it's getting worse out there. God, come back. Or, you know, Jesus, return now. Some of us are crying out for Him to return before the elections in November. come back. It ain't going anywhere here, Lord. We just need something better. Help us. But we should understand that the imminent return should give us a hope, should give us something to live for. This means to mentally be alert, to think clearly. We've got to think clearly in our lives today. We've got to be disciplined. You've got to exercise self-control. You've got to look at being focused. You've got to look forward. You've got to be all of these things. So as we look at these things in 1 Peter 13 to 19, is to imminent return, we should be mentally alert, we should be disciplined, and we should be focused on the things around us. We cannot become holy on our own, but God gives us His Holy Spirit to help us obey and to give us power to overcome the areas of our lives that will try to snare us. The Bible emphasizes the results of redemption, freedom from sin, and the freedom to serve God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's that. That's what it's all about. I trust and I hope that we can gain to that level if you're not there already, and we understand the redemption and the process that God went through for us, the love He has for us. I just pray, too, that if you feel like you've been kind of strayed from Him, that you know that you can always come back to Him. You can just say, Lord, forgive me for I've erred. Forgive me for I've strayed. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. There's things in the Bible that helps us with that, with the son that went away and wanted to blow all of his inheritance, and he came back, and what did the father do? Throw a great big party, man. Kind of a snapshot of God looking at us saying, come back if you've strayed. Come back. He's there.